This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Very, very welcome, listeners. It's time again for Into Me See, where we talk about reality, restoration, and redemption in the face of addiction. So last week and this month's topic is breaking denial to change. And we're just looking at the very, very important action and change of attitude with regards to denial, and that we cannot break, we cannot change unless we have broken away from denial. And I'm very, very aware of the fact that it's different at different times. So we may not break denial on one issue, but then there may be denial on another issue. And Gert and I will once again, we spoke last week, and we'll be going into discussion again, a conversation on this topic, and talk about his experience as a counselor with these counselees. And as you hear, Gert and I are alone on air this evening, because Suki is taking a break, and we're giving her an opportunity to relax and to have some peace. So, Gert, very, very welcome. It's so good to have you back this week again.
Absolutely, Frederick. Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
So in this program and in this episode, we often talk about how those struggling with addictions can be helped in a healthy, life-giving way. So this month, as I said, we're talking about denial and change. So very, very welcome back with us, Gert.
Thank you, Frederick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
it's good to be here.
You've been in counseling for quite a while. Give us a little bit of a background on just how did you get into the counseling?
Thank you. Yeah, I laugh because it's a fond memory. So coming into counseling was not something I had in mind. As I went through the turmoil of addiction, but like I mentioned last week, in 2006, Jesus Christ stepped in between myself and alcohol and drug addiction, literally stepped in and said, this is over. And I was healed. I was made whole, so to speak. I was brought to a place of restoration. And it happened instantly. I had to do the work, yes. But only then was I ready to meet my lovely wife that I'm married to now for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So God was preparing her, and he kept her hidden from me all those years because we actually moved in similar circles, but he kept her hidden from me because I was not ready, mature enough or whole enough to be introduced to each other, two of us.
Mm.
He then used my wife to convince me to step into my calling, which I believe is to be a spiritual and addictions counselor, somebody that reconnects people with the power of God,
somebody that
reminds people who they are, that their identity lies in Christ. It's not something I wanted to do. It was to go study at the age of 40. But she saw something that I couldn't. Thanks to God for that. That she said, you should go. This is what you should be doing. And I went to study. I got spent 5 years, got a diploma in communication and counseling with some psychology background, but specifically around addiction.
Yes.
So that's how I came into counseling, but then the enemy kind of kept me out of it for another 2.5 years, telling me, you're not good enough. This is never going to work. You won't make any difference. But boy, when I took off there... He was exposed, and now I'm really grateful to be involved in people's lives and see God work in them with me, just as kind of a bystander and somebody that walks along with them. So that's where I am at the moment.
Sure, that's wonderful. It's incredible how Jesus actually guides us, and he allows things to happen when we are ready, and he deals with us exactly in the same place where he knows we need to be dealt with, and he comes into our lives in many different ways. Gert, there's just one thing I want to clarify for our listeners. So perhaps there's somebody that is drinking, and they want to get rid of the drinking habit. You said that you were made instantly whole that day when you said, I'm not going to do this anymore. But that did not mean that you did not embark on a journey of restoration. There were certain things that you that was needed from you so that you could maintain that instant wholeness and the sobriety.
Absolutely. I remember I'm also involved with some treatment centers, and I remember a person in treatment saying to me, when we were talking about the 12-step program and where it says we decided to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, which is our thoughts and our actions. And he said, oh, so what you're saying is I'm not going to do anything. God's going to do everything.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, sometimes the idea that people have coming into treatment, saying things like, so when are you going to fix me? Or when is the magic going to happen? No, the work started then. I knew in an instant that I will be able to break through and have victory, which I never had that knowledge before. Because before I was full of self-will and fear, so I was trying to do it. But when I did that prayer, and it, you know, Frederick, it's a prayer that I prayed many, many times through the years of addiction, and the prayer went something like this: God, please help me with my, and fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Help me with my. And the problem is, then nothing happens. The visual I had is almost like God is standing right behind me with his hands behind his back saying, just put everything on the table.
Yeah.
And that only happened when I was desperate. And then the same prayer had a life-changing impact on me completely. So it's not a different prayer. It's just that this time I didn't say, help me with this thing or that thing. I said, here's my whole life. And that's what step three in the 12 steps talks about, your will and your life, meaning your thoughts and your actions. Every thought, every action has to be filtered through God before you even go ahead with it.
Yeah. It talks very loudly about surrender, getting to the point where you said, I cannot any longer, I surrender it.
That's so true. And you know, today's world is not about surrendering. Today's world is about being the best you can. It's about being the best at what you do. You know, I see people worship the God of reason, the God of intellect, before they would even consider spiritual health. They say things like, and this is pre-desperate, this is pre-rock bottom.
Yeah.
People would say things like, when we refer to the 12 steps, for example, they would say, prove to me that this will work, then I might consider doing it. And I mean, if you, that almost sounds like somebody that says, prove to me that exercising will make me fit and then I'll start. We need to take the action. I believe in a spiritual program of action. And that with the emphasis on action, my part is incredibly important. But God designs the outcome. He knows the outcome. He can live my life in reverse. You know?
Yes. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That is so true. So you have a number of, I don't know if we can call them clients or sponsees. What are the typical struggles that they have?
Yeah. So to answer your question, I have both. I have clients and sponsees. Clients are people that come to see me struggling with the fruits of being disconnected from God, being things like substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, food, or what you refer to as a process addiction, or some people call it a behavioral addiction, sex and love addiction, gambling, shopping, where the addiction is hidden in the process, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
There's normally a ritual involved. So people come to me, ultimately, I believe there's only one problem. All people, I believe, are struggling with a lack of conscious contact with God. And they come to you and they call it something else. But ultimately, I strive to be the spiritual counselor that reconnects people with God.
Gert, this is a very, very important point, and we'll continue with the conversation after the break. Welcome back, listeners. We are talking and we are in conversation, Gert and I, with regards to denial and breaking denial and starting to change, and how important it is to break denial. And just before the break, he was telling me about the typical issue and actually the main struggle or problem that he finds that most of his clients have, and that's a disconnect with God. So Gert, what are some of the tools that you use to help your clients break denial and start changing?
So, Frederick, I believe in a design for living, a spiritual design for living that works in the format of the 12-step program that's used in many, many fellowships. And one of the most powerful tools in there is to look at resentment, unforgiveness, fear, shame, and guilt. And we dissect that, and we are very thorough, and we go back and we look at what is a resentment. It's old anger. I look at dysfunctional beliefs and old ideas like, you're not good enough, you'll never amount to anything, or my father never loved me. And we dissect that, and sometimes 90% of certain ideas that we hold on to are things that were spoken over us once, maybe, and that we then, part of our identity is formed in that. And we need to look at that in the presence of God, which is step five, that says we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And then you see people become free in front of your eyes, where they look at something where the default, the neurological pathway used to be to try and prove that the person is right. What he's saying is he's right. Now you point out, no, your father did love you. He was just at work a lot trying to look after you. All of a sudden, the person has a positive experience in being wrong. And he goes, wow, I was wrong about that. Thank goodness. Show me what else I'm wrong about. And then they're ready. Then you can start looking at these dysfunctional beliefs that do not serve you.
And you were talking about the 12 steps, and we know that the 12 steps are used in many, many fellowships. All the addiction, love and behavioral, anonymous, whatever anonymous you can think of, they use the 12 steps that originated with AA. So I think you would be very familiar with the AA 12 steps. But also there are Christ-centered recovery groups and programs that also use the 12-step, but they have a biblical component to those.
That's right.
So Gert, do you think, especially if we're talking about a Christ-centered recovery journey, and I heard that was your passion, is to bring people back into an intimate relationship with God and themselves and others. These aspects that you mentioned, the resentments, the unbeliefs, the lies that become truths, are they exposed while going through the 12 steps? I mean, at what point are your clients able to say, yes, there's a problem?
I'd say it depends on the client. There's certain aspects that are crucial. That is willingness, honesty, and openness. And if a client is not looking for recovery with the desperation of a drowning man without sounding dramatic, but that's what we need, is somebody that says, I will do anything.
Yeah.
Then the change, you know, there's an old saying that if somebody's ready for recovery, there's nothing you can do to keep them away from it. But the opposite is also true. And I have only one rule, and that as a counselor, I do not help somebody that doesn't ask for help.
If the family
asks me for help, I would see how I can assist them.
Yeah.
But with the person that if they're not requesting or realizing that they're in trouble, I'm not going to be effective or helpful at all.
Mm.
You know, I'm not sure if I answered your
question.
Yeah,
no, that's great. Because as you were sharing, I was immediately thinking of the analogy that Suki very often uses, is there can be a 0 out of 10 and there can be a 10 out of 10. A 10 out of 10, I'm willing to take any radical step that you tell me, I'll do it so that I can start changing. Or a person can be 3 or 4 or 5 out of 10. So if some challenge comes, they fall away. Or somebody could be closer to 1 or 2, and they say they want to change, but they don't really want to change. And I think that speaks into your policy or your principle that you don't help a client or an addict if the family asks, please help my son, my husband, whatever.
That's right.
There's
12-step programs for the family, and that's very helpful, that the family, you know, addiction is a family disease.
Yes, yes.
And the family should also consider that they have been harmed and that they are sick and that they can heal by following the 12-step program.
That's very, very important, is following the 12 steps and having it as a Christ-centered program or a strategy to break denial, move and start changing. And that can be true for the addict. And we're not only talking about alcohol. There are many types of addiction. And start breaking away from denial and start changing. So, Gert, I'd like to know what are the common things that they struggle the most with? If you're talking to your clients, what is the greatest obstacle to their change?
I think the greatest obstacle in my experience so far is that people get stuck in thinking in their head. They're trying to intellectualize or use logic to figure out the problem. And unfortunately, the addict or the alcoholic, the problem centers in the mind. So the mind is already affected. So now the person is trying to use an affected mind to heal something that can only be healed on a spiritual basis. Like I said before, this world is not about surrender. It's about standing out and being the best and being the strongest. So I think the biggest hurdle I've noticed is this need to understand something before we'll do it, when it clearly works for millions of people globally. But in my experience, and I'm including myself in this, I felt different. All the people I've bumped into to come into recovery tries to prove that their set of problems is different and that the 12 steps or the normal approach will not work on them because of X, Y, and Z that's different in their lives that doesn't apply to the normal garden variety alcoholic, as we jokingly refer to it.
Yeah.
Which is not true. It works for everybody. The only requirement is an honest desire to stop. And people unfortunately come into the 12-step program sometimes with a desire to stop, but it's not an honest desire. It's a desire to stay in a relationship or not lose the house.
Yeah.
And then recovery cannot start because then recovery is based on a lie. The foundation is a lie, and you can't move from that.
And what the word that immediately came to my mind while they are stuck in their heads is they are trying a cognitive process, and I know there is a technique called cognitive behavioral therapy, and where
CBT,
they where they actually try to change your thinking, how you think about yourself, how you think about God, how you think about others and the world. But the cognitive that I'm talking about is that somebody could have a cognitive belief that God is there and they need to be in a relationship with him, but it has not sunk down to the heart. And therefore, it is not affecting the mind with the truths that come from believing that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior.
Absolutely. And the way to have that sink into the heart, as you just so beautifully put it, is to have healthy habits and to have disciplines that we help people with on the morning and evening and during the day. There's certain disciplines in place that these habits will then eventually settle in and become a new way of thinking. The new man then resurfaces, I suppose is the right word. So that comes from staying diligently with suggested disciplines that work for many people. So it will work for any kind of substance or process addiction.
And I think something that is super exciting for me is just to see how people change by following the 12 steps and having a spiritual journey. And, you know, even in the SAA readings, it says it's a spiritual solution. And step 12 says, once having had a spiritual awakening or going into a deeper relationship with God, we try to carry this message to others. And it no longer becomes a cognitive thing. It's something that's built into us.
That's right.
Gert, do you have some examples or what you have seen in some of your clients as a final closing question? Some of them changing in their relationship with God and their intimacy with others and themselves.
Yeah, so the 12th step, as you refer to, I love how they put it, having had a spiritual awakening as the result. It doesn't say as a result. It's the main point of the 12th step is to have a spiritual awakening. The things that I noticed first, the things that start happening with clients that are actively and healthily engaged in the 12-step process, meaning they want to do it, they honestly want to do it for themselves, are, first of all, it's kind of a hope. There's a hope for the future. There's a sense of fitting in or belonging, you know, being part of something much bigger than the mind can never fathom, a sense of peace and ease about the person. There's joy, there's happiness, there's sometimes, or quite often, there's kind of a sparkle in the eye that people around the person notices before the person himself are even aware of it.
There's
less sadness, there's less anger, there's more energy, there's drive. But the first thing I normally notice is laughter. They start laughing again. We start... The healing of laughter, we start having it. You can see people start breathing again. And people realize, and if I had to say anything to people, the moment feeling, what should I do now, is that reach out. Tell somebody what you're struggling with. You know, you can't and you don't have to do this alone. The people like myself are easily to get hold of. You just need to remember the name. I'm Gert Moorman. It's easy to find people on social media, and there's a lot of people that are ready to help. There's a lot of fellowship groups that can help. But those are the things that I notice first, and it's beautiful to be part of that process, that God can use us like that.
And
He's using you, and particularly with what you guys are doing, it's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gert, for that encouragement. And I just want to confirm with you that the healing comes in community. It's not an isolated... only God and I tried that and it didn't work. It's not only me and my wife or my partner or my boy or girlfriend. It's in community with people that understand exactly what you are going through. So I'm 100% sure that these changes that you saw in your clients definitely affects their relationships, a relationship with God and with themselves. They start getting a different view and perspective of themselves, and they have a different perspective and a different relationship and closer to intimacy with their partners and as couples. Gert, thank you so much for being with us today.
And, what a pleasure.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me. Yeah, thanks, Frederick.
We'll look forward to another month. Perhaps we can talk again. It seems like we can talk for an hour about.
And
unfortunately, we have to come to an end. Thank you very much for being with us. And listeners, please remember that you can listen to the podcasts. If you missed or came in halfway through the program, please go to the podcasts at www.kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC. And there you can actually download any of the podcasts and you can share it with friends. We'd love to you to share those. No restrictions. You don't have to pay anything. Just share it with a friend. And if you have any questions or comments or some topic that you would like us to talk about with regards to addiction, please send that request and or the question to Frederick Soeke, FrederickSoeke, Frederick Soeke, at kpulpit.co.za. Keep tuned and keep tuned to this very beautiful radio station, Kpulpit 729 AM. And we'll see you next time again. Blessings. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio Kpulpit 729 AM. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.